right, hey everybody, hello and welcome to the Friday edition of American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3 FM. Mr. Happy is here.
I was going to say, this is also known as Tom Ryan's attitude adjustment.
No doubt. I had a rough Friday today, but I'm very glad to be here. The weekend's coming on. What have I got to complain about, right? Heidi Morales, Ryan, my lovely wife, is here with me. Thank God to get me back on track. And the other thing that's really going to get me, you know, bring me down in a good way and, you know, maybe actually maybe lift me up, is a better, lift up my spirits, is today's show. Not just doing it, but the content of it. I'm really excited about today's show because, you know, when we started the series off, of course, we were doing a show, a regular Friday feature dedicated to Louis Armstrong. We were not able to be here last Friday because the towers were exploding, or the broadcast tower basically, whatever it is, it stopped working.
The antenna.
Something that connected to the thing that connected to the other thing just basically stopped working entirely, and we were off of the air for a few days.
They needed a new fuse.
Yeah, something like that. It could have been just that. But so I felt bad we couldn't do our show. But today I need it. So we're back on the air and we're back on track. And this is our 19th show dedicated to the musical genius of Louis Armstrong. And I got to be honest, when we started this series, I thought that maybe the music that we'd be covering with Louis as you got to the later years, it would start to taper off and I'd be able to like pretty much rush through the later years and then, you know, move on to the next topic because I didn't know if there would be enough worthy material. But
say it ain't so, Joe.
Man, I'm telling you what's happening now is like now we're like up to like the mid to late 50s. And it turns out that this is like one of Louis's most prolific periods. He recorded so much material around this time that it was
still good.
It's mind-boggling. You put out it was still great.
I mean, like when you got to the end of Motown, for instance,
you could feel it tapered off.
You could almost hear the sucking sound.
Right, exactly.
Vacuum.
Right, of talent going out the door.
Yes.
And that's so not the case with Louis as he gets older. I mean, now we're talking about a man who's in his mid-50s. Way beyond his prime. Rock and roll is on the scene and happening. Louis Armstrong is totally deferential to it. He's dealing with it. He's not going to pretend to be a rock and roller by any... Louis is Louis. He's never anything but Louis. Never was anything but Louis. Never really ever wanted to try to be anything but Louis. So with all this stuff going on, he stays really true to himself. And he ends up just releasing what I consider to be some of the best music of his entire career by just relaxing. He ends up on Verve Records. I'll get into that story in a little bit. I just want to play some music as quickly as I can. But Verve is one of these labels that is just basically dedicated to making jazz an art form, one of the few new labels that, around this time to do that. And Ella Fitzgerald was on the label already. Mm-hmm. And so now that Louis was affiliated with Verve, it gave them an opportunity to team up, which they had done a number of times already. I think if you've listened to the show, you've heard a few tracks already of the two of them.
Right.
But now they're teaming up for entire albums on Verve.
Sweet.
And the results are just stunning. I think, like I said, there's just, I think it's some of the best music ever recorded. Let's get right to some of it. From the very first album, simply entitled Ella and Louis, Isn't This a Lovely Day?
Weather is frightening, the thunder and lightning seem to be having their way. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. The turn in the weather will keep us together, so I can honestly say that as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day, and everything's okay.
Yes, isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You're going on your way. Now you've got to remain. Yeah, just as you walk away, leaving me all at sea. The clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me, babe. Now I can see the sun up high. They were calling us down. I can't see where you and I could be cozy and warm. Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Baby, long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. Just as you clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me. I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm. I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm. Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. The sun up high, though we're caught in the storm.
Caught in the storm, babe.
I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm.
Cozy and warm.
Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the sky are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
That is just the beginning. We're going to be hearing an awful lot of stuff from Ella and Lewis in today's program. Some of, really, quite honestly, some of my favorite music of all time. My favorite Sunday like Sunday morning album ever. Nothing will ever top this. It's one of the it's the best album in the world to listen to on a mellow weekend morning. And
over champagne brunch.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, it's just classy, beautiful music. And it really kind of almost didn't happen. For what it's worth, if you remember where we were, where we had left off with our last show, I'll give you some of the history here. We were playing tracks of that Lewis had recorded for Columbia Records.
Mm-hmm.
He had the hit single Mack the Knife. He had released two hit albums on Columbia. The Lewis plays W.C. Handy and Satch plays Fats, which were huge successes, some of the first essential albums to ever be released, meaning long, you know, 12-inch playing, 12-inch records, because, you know, the album was a relatively new thing, and the years were, it was early in the 50s, so it was mm-hmm. pretty fantastic. And Columbia did a great job of making Lewis's trumpet sound good and doing the right thing by him. And George Avakian, who was the engineer for those sessions, loved recording Lewis and enjoyed everything about it and wanted to continue to do it. In fact, they had a bunch of other ideas planned. They were going to do Lewis does an entire album of Jelly Roll Morton songs. And after that, they were going to say, you know, Lewis does an entire Joe Oliver album. You know, easy, obvious things, just simple, following right in that trend because they were selling well and they were artistically interesting. So it just made sense. But Lewis's manager, Joe Glaser, saw things a little bit differently.
Yeah, he usually does.
Yes, he usually absolutely did. He was about the money, which was his job as a manager.
That's the bottom line for a manager.
He pretty much told Columbia, well, you know, Lewis is going to go to the highest bidder. Whoever wants to pay me the most is where I'm going to put him. So Columbia was bidding pretty high because they really had these ideas of what they really wanted mm-hmm. to do. And even though Joe Glaser liked, you know, the whole idea of what Columbia's plans were, he still went out for bids. And usually this kind of thinking is artistically disastrous.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it almost never works out. Just in this one instance, it just turned out to be incredibly fortuitous. Because it was right around this exact same time that Norman Granz was starting this little label called Verve Records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Norman Granz was a guy who was already getting very famous for trying to legitimize jazz, sort of like taking it out of the whorehouses,
yes,
in a sense, and putting it into the opera houses, so to speak. And Granz was, he had this thing that was called, was Jazz at the Philharmonic. That was his brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
And Jazz at the Philharmonic was a really big deal in the late 40s and early 50s because all of a sudden now you've got people in suits and tuxedos coming out to hear jazz. Very different thing than what it was a few years ago. But, you know, again, Granz had an awful lot to do with this, with the whole process of legitimacy for this type of music. And he started the Verve record label as an artistically ambitious way of trying to turn this music, which you could have said was once like a slut, really, and turning it into a queen, turning it into something
it's
absolutely.
Like My Fair Lady.
Yeah, really, you're right. That whole idea of
rain and spine.
He's trying to carve jazz out as a respectable music for discriminating listeners. You know, so what was once race music was now culturally artistic and dignified music. You would never call this race music like they did in the early days. You know, that's right. You know, it's one of the indignities that was tossed at it. It was totally different now. And Granz was very responsible for this. The label took immense pride in their recording techniques, in the personnel that they used. And you can tell by that first track that we just played how incredibly gorgeous the sound is.
Yeah.
Lewis's voice in particular is it's probably the best that his vocals had ever sounded on any record ever, as it did on this album. Some people thought it was a bit austere, which is, I guess, when you compare it to the history of jazz, as I'm talking about it, it was. Yeah, they cleaned it up a little bit, so some of the rough edges are gone. So if you needed to complain, yeah, you could say that, no doubt. But the bottom line is, it was beautiful. The artists were treated with reverence. There were great liner notes. As I said, the musicians were great. The arrangers were great. Ella Fitzgerald was on the label. Art Tatum was on the label. And now Lewis. And for this set, this album, Ella and Lewis, the band that Granz put together is just unspeakably fantastic. It's a, you heard how great they played on that record.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, Louis Armstrong is on vocals and trumpet. Elle is on vocals. Oscar Peterson is the piano player. What better than that? That's pretty obvious. Listen, Herb Ellis is the guitar player. Listen to his work on this, how fantastic it is. Ray Brown plays bass, which is interesting because Ray Brown is Ella's ex-husband. They had been married before. So, you know, but he went on.
Well, you got to recognize talent.
Absolutely. And, you know, listen, they're professionals and they're getting along and they work brilliantly together on this. And Ray Brown's one of the most, you know, talented bass players who had gotten around on so many sessions. Look him up. You would not believe how many things this guy worked on and how much work he did. And the drummer on this, although you'd think the drumming hardly even matters because it's so subtle, it's Buddy Rich.
Huh.
One of the most incredibly loud and, you know, and I would say almost...
bombastic.
Yeah, what's for, you know, he knows how to showcase himself.
Okay.
Nobody does that better than Buddy Rich. I mean, the guy is one of the most talented drummers that ever lived, if not the most. And he really knows how, you know, he could play circles around anybody. But on this session, he's a brush man and he never once even comes near getting in the way.
Well, that's... That's talent.
Proves, no, exactly. It shows that
to hold back.
He knows how to play for the song. And let's play a little bit more from this album. I can't hear enough of it. Again, from the Ella and Lewis album. Here's Moonlight in Vermont.
In a stream, falling leaves, a sycamore, moonlight in Vermont. I see finger waves, ski trails on side, snow light in Vermont, telegraph cables they sing down the highway and travel each bend in the road. People who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by the lovely evening summer breeze wobbling of a meadowlark, moonlight in Vermont.
Setting so hypnotized by the lovely
evening summer breeze wobbling up a meadowlark, moonlight in Vermont. You and I and moonlight in Vermont.
Moonlight in Vermont.
thought I'd found the man of my dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends? I thought for once it couldn't go wrong. Not for long, I can see the way this ends. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends? Never again, through with love, through with men. They play their game without shame, and who's to blame? I thought I'd found a man I could trust. What a bust. This is how the story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
Yes, I thought I knew the wheat from the chaff. What a laugh. This is how the story ends. I let her turn me down, say, can't we be friends? But by that day, I acted like a kid out of school. What a fool. Now I see this is the end. I let her turn me down, say, can't we be friends? Oh, why should I care? Though she gave me the air, why should I cry, have a sigh, and wonder why? Yes, I should have seen the single stop. What a flop. This is how the story ends. She's gonna turn me down, say, can we be friends?
Just to make it sound even more incredible, keep in mind that almost the entire album, I think actually literally the entire record is recorded in one day.
Oh my goodness.
August 16th, 1956 at the Capitol Studios in Los Angeles. They put down 11 tracks and there's not, not only is there not a bad song among them, there's hardly a song that I wouldn't say is a masterpiece.
Yeah, there's not a dud.
I think I can honestly say, to me, in my own opinion, every one of these songs is the definitive version of these songs. I would pretty much challenge anybody to find another version that rises to this level of artistry and of emotional expression. What actually is coming out of the band and Ella and Lewis. I mean, Ella is not the most expressive singer, really, in the world. I mean,
but she works great with Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, she's remarkably talented, one of the best singers for pitch. Nobody's better than Ella. But she often tends to write above the material rather than getting immersed in it. But on this, when she works with Lewis, he drags her in, pulls her into it. And it's dignified and respectful, granted, the way that they approach it, but it's sublime. Mm-hmm. I think it's some of the best work of Lewis's entire life, and here he is in his mid-50s already, and he's doing some of the best work of his life. And I think that it might very well be the best work that Ella Fitzgerald had ever done, hands down. I just love it that much. And that's why I want to play a little bit, spend a little bit more time on this record, play a couple more tracks as well. Let's hear a couple more from the same album, Ella and Lewis. Following up what we just heard, of course, that was Can't We Be Friends. Let's hear this time, let's play They Can't Take That Away From Me.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still, I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still, I always, always keep the memory of us. The way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you change my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. Swing it, boys.
Take that away from me.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, all my wildest dreams come true. I need no song to enchant me if you'll only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight and to feel in the night the nearness.
Excites me, the thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, yes, just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, all my wildest dreams come true. Yeah. I need no soft lights to enchant me if you only grant me the right ever so tight, yeah, babe, and to feel in the night, babe, the nearness of you.
You'll only grant me the right.
And that's just a little bit less than half of the entire album. If I had, which I almost do, but I can't see playing the entire album in terms of like the history that we're trying to convey. We really do need to, you know, move on to other things. But I honestly believe that it is one of the actual gold stars in Lewis's catalog, and a superb moment in Ella's as well. Mm-hmm. The Ella and Lewis album, as I said, on Verve Records, simply called Ella and Lewis. And we should talk about the cover shot a little bit. It's this amazingly casual photo. It looks like, you know, Ella and Lewis just kind of like, you know, she put on, I wouldn't call it a house dress, but it's not a formal dress by any stretch of the imagination. And Lewis is sitting there with his white socks rolled down, and you can see his ankles, you know, on this photo. They're just sitting there like.
They're casual. They're themselves.
Yeah, they just like kind of like showed up after lunch, and here's this photo. It just looks so simple. And even the background, it's so, you can see like, the kick panel and the tiles on the floor. There's nothing about it that's elegant. The photo is just so ordinary, and yet the music is obviously
anything other than
anything but. I guess one of my favorite albums of all time. And yet, okay, it comes out. Critics are raving about it. My gosh, you know, it's a rebirth for Lewis. It's so fantastic. And Ella too. Listen to how fantastic they sound. It gets the recognition it deserves from critics, but Joe Glaser didn't like it. He had a problem.
Uh-oh.
First, it's too mellow. It makes Lewis sound too old. Sounds like he's ready to retire, according to Joe Glaser. And if you keep making music like this, you're going to end your career.
Uh-oh.
You're known for playing upbeat jazz, and this is not the type of thing that you should be doing. So he makes plans for a, quote-unquote, a revival of sorts for Lewis. That's what he wants to do now. So what he does is he now goes out for the highest bidder to see who wants to basically have Lewis revisit some of the high points of his own career, focusing on the New Orleans jazz, the gut bucket jazz aspect of what he had been doing for, you know, for the past 40 years of his career. And this time Decca wins. And the end result, this is why Lewis did so much work around this time. He actually recorded a 4-LP project.
Oh my goodness.
Not a single album, not a double album, not even a triple album, a 4-album box set of all new recordings. Well, new recordings of mostly previously recorded songs. Lewis revisiting a lot of stuff that he had done throughout his entire career.
But now they have better recording equipment, so it's going to sound better.
Exactly. Well, it certainly sounds better. But, you know, of course, the bands are different now, and so it's not really the same thing. Some of it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But it's really hard to compare anything to the Hot Fives and the Hot Sevens,
right,
you know, of what that really was about. But Lewis is revisiting that, and like you said, the sound is great. And what really makes it fun is the concept of the album is that every single track would be introduced by Lewis. He would do a spoken dialogue introducing his own material.
Oh, that's got to be fun for someone who's listening as an audience member.
Absolutely. At this point, it's sort of like the album was called Satchmo, A Musical Autobiography. And I wouldn't say that it's one of Lewis's best albums. Maybe not necessarily a great place to start, but you could do worse. Because it's so nice to hear Lewis telling some of the stories about his own songs and putting them into context. And I certainly have got to play a few, maybe a couple of tracks at least from this album before we move on. So from this album, which Lewis, as I said, had recorded for Decca Records now, his third label in 1 year.
Wow.
Actually, all at the same time. This is Joe Glaser's. It's like one album deals is what he's cutting. That's how he's going to get the money. But this is on Decca Records. It's called Satchmo, A Musical Autobiography. And let's hear Lewis give us his introduction to this track called Gully Low Blues.
Here's another of my own blues composition. We recorded this in two different versions. One was called SOL Blues, and the other was Gully Low Blues. And this being our first recording under my banner, we had a million laughs. When we recorded 8 bars solo by one man, the other man was supposed to say, all played, or something like that. But when it got to my solo, and Johnny Dodds was supposed to say, oh, blow it, Papa Dip. And I waited for that so I could continue, and I don't hear nothing. And I look at Johnny Dodds, his lips was just quivering, blah, 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 blah. He said, I can't talk on this thing. But, we finally changed it and gave it to Kid O'Reilly, and the record came out all right. Gully Low Blues. ¶¶ Now, mama, 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 why did you treat me so? Yes. Yes, mama, 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 why do you treat me so? I know why you treat me so bad, baby. You treat me mean, baby. Yes, because I'm girly low. Now, mama, if you listen to me, baby, I'll tell you something you don't know. You don't know. Yes, if you listen to me, honey, I'll tell you something you don't know. If you just give me a break, baby, and take me back, won't be gully no more, gully no more.
Forgot about the tag. Yeah, when that was first released, it was a I think it was a Hot 5 recording. I'm not sure if it was a Hot 5 or a Hot 7 recording, but it originally was under the title of the SOL Blues, as in out of luck blues.
Yes.
And almost got it banned as a result of that too, back in its day. But here it eventually came around to be called Gully Low, and there it is. And I was saying I should mention, of course, you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3 FM. And this entire series that we're doing here, of course, is coming to you live right now at the moment. But we will put it up on the on our websites. And you can get all of our shows by simply going to our websites and playing them on demand whenever you want to hear them. So if you want to hear the show again in its entirety, all you've got to do is go to our website, AmericanHitRadio.com. Or AmericanHitNetwork.com. You'll see our Wednesday show on the left, our Friday show on the right. The entire Louis Armstrong series, all 19 shows, are on that right-hand side. You can flip through it and you can hear whatever show you care to, and including other series that we've done in the same Friday series of shows. We also have an archive site, which is called ShadUpAndListen.com. It's S-H-A-D-D-U-P. ANDLISTEN.com. If you go there, all of the shows, Wednesday and Friday, are just posted in chronological order, and you could hear any one of those on demand. It's simple. It's as simple as going there and clicking on whatever you want to hear. So hope you can check it out. Now, I said at the top of the show that I can't even believe myself that, you know, when we got to the later years, that I'd I was hoping I'd be able to maybe pick up the pace and rush through these years, thinking that I'd find that it was a bit fallow. And it's turning out to be the exact opposite. In fact, it's so much in the opposite direction that I feel like what I'm actually doing is rushing through the later years, and I'm still not able to get anywhere because I have to skip so much material.
Yeah, you could have easily played whole albums today.
Yeah, exactly. And here is a 4-LP set, and I'm going to just call this down to 2 tracks. I'm going to play 2 tracks of that entire collection. So just to give you a representation of it. And there's an entire album even that I'm not playing around that Lewis put out around this time. He put out a thematically based album, based around all songs with the word angels in it, which is kind of a weird idea. But, you know, I married an angel, you're a heavenly thing, angel child, a sinner kissed an angel. You know, this is like great stuff, but I'm skipping things that I wish that I didn't have to skip.
Don't skip, hon. It's like skimping.
Yeah, it feels that way. But you know what? I mean, we're on the Ella and Lewis theme, and through some miracle, Lewis was able to go back to Verve to record another album with Ella.
We'll have to go back and do a Lanyap show or something.
Well, we might be able to do that, but at least we get some more Ella and Lewis to end our show. They put out another album simply called Ella and Lewis Again. Again, it's pretty much the exact same band. It's the Oscar Peterson trio. The difference is Buddy Rich is no longer the drummer. This time it's Louis Belson on drums. Other than that, though, it's pretty much more of the exact same beautiful, brilliant type of music. From the album Ella and Lewis Again, let's hear Autumn in New York.
On the same day when we made Knockin' a Jug, I cut some sides with some of the boys out of Louis Russell's orchestra, along with Eddie Condon on banjo and Lonnie Johnson on guitar. I guess this was my first time singing a popular hit song. And it's, I can't give you anything but love, yeah. I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, you should find, yeah. Happiness, and I guess all the things that you grind for, baby. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelet will wait to sell. Oh, baby, baby, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything, love.
One minor correction. I'm sorry. I got a little bit ahead of myself on that. I was talking about I wanted to play two tracks from the four album set. Sashmo Musical Autobiography, and I was back to talking about Ella and Lewis again. So, of course, what we had heard was the extra track. It was called I Can't Give You Anything But Love from that album, and now we will end our show. Boy, time just flew so fast. I thought I had all these more tracks, but I don't. So we'll end with this.
Tie it up, baby.
We're going to play more of this next week, you know.
Yes.
I'm going to get back to Ella and
Lewis.
Come
on, there's a six-minute song.
All right. From the album Ella and Lewis again. Here's their version of Autumn in New York. The wrong season, but the right sentiment. Take care, everybody. Hope you can join us next Friday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Autumn in New York. Why does it seem so autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting, glittering crowds and shimmering clouds in canyons of steel. They're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often me. Dreamers with empty hands may sigh for exotic lands. It's autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
Autumn in New York, the gleaming rooftops at sundown. Oh, autumn in New York, it lifts you up when you run down. Yes, Jane. And gay divorces who lunch at the Ritz will tell you that it's divine. This autumn in New York transforms the slums into Mayfair. Oh, autumn in New York, you'll need the castles in Spain. Yes, lovers that bless the dark. Oh, on the benches in Central Park, great autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
You're tuned in to 90.3 FM, WHPC, Garden City, New York. The voice of Nassau Community College. Helping people communicate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Tune in next to the Ultrasound.